The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the AFB.org. The Helen Keller Achievement Awards will kick off their leadership conference April 19th. The conference runs through the 21st. From the NFB.org, the Karen Anderson blog post about her assistive technology experiences. From the ACB.org, the SAG Awards had audio description. A Cure Insight has an article about metastatic ocular melanoma. Fast Company has an article about fashion design with Braille in mind. And Forbes has an article about Kai Owens and his guide dog journey. So let's get started. From AFB.org, the Helen Keller Achievement Awards. Join us to celebrate the work of Charter Communications and the Honorable Anthony Tony Cello, I think, C-O-E-L-H-O, former California congressman and champion for disability rights, who led the introduction of the Americans with Disabilities Act, April 19, 2023, 6 to 9 p.m., Arlington, Virginia. Get your ticket now at the hot link. The Leadership Conference. Join leaders and other collaborators at the 2023 AFB Leadership Conference, AFBLC. The 2023 AFBLC will focus on empowering digital inclusion. Join us as we discuss innovative ways to create true inclusion and create a world of no limits for people who are blind. That runs April 19th through 21st, 2023 in Arlington, Virginia. From the NFB.org, the Dynamic Tactile Device, a new solution to an old problem. Posted Tuesday, January 3, 2023 by Karen Anderson. I grew up as a blind Braille reading student in the public school system in Nebraska. I vividly remember my third grade teacher, Mrs. Williams, rearranging her classroom storage so we had space in the classroom for all the volumes of my Braille textbooks. She never wanted me to feel that I had to miss instruction time to go get a new volume. In my desk, I kept the volumes I needed for each textbook we were using. When I needed a new volume, I got up, walked across the room, and found the cupboard where my books were stored. Then I thumbed through the volumes until I found the one with the pages we were using. This was the best setup I could imagine at the time, but I wondered what it must be like for my sighted peers who only had one book to worry about. I'm a very spatial learner, particularly when it comes to math and science concepts. By the time I was in high school, I had a note taker with a 40-cell Braille display. My teachers were hopeful that I could do my math homework on the note taker rather than working everything out in hard copy Braille on a Perkins Braille writer and waiting for my teacher to blind students to transcribe my assignments. However, try as I might, I could not keep enough of the information in my head to handle doing complex math without seeing the entire problem. Reading one line of Braille at a time simply didn't cut it for me. I went back to the Perkins and I was successful, but I needed that extra step, my teacher of the blind transcribing my work. I know that my experiences are not unique. Generations of blind students have worked through similar challenges, and we have all lived to tell the tale. But blind students and blind adults have long dreamed of a refreshable Braille display that could display more than one line of Braille at a time. In our wildest dreams, we have even imagined that this multi-line Braille display would be able to show us tactile graphics. In general, tactile graphics have been limited or non-existent for blind students and adults. The National Federation of the Blind, along with our partners at the American Printing House for the Blind, APH, and HumanWare, believe that the time has come to make this dream a reality. We believe that technology has come far enough to make this device possible. Just as importantly, we believe that we have assembled the right team to make it a reality. Many blind people are likely to be skeptical. After all, this is not the first time we've heard about a work and a device that can do at least some of these things. I can't count the number of times I've been tagged on social media by friends and family eagerly sharing a new story about a future tablet for blind people that will present multiple lines of Braille. I get my hopes up only to discover that no headway has been made on the project. In most cases, it turns out that blind people haven't even been consulted at all. Now, for the first time, a truly unified effort has been launched to make this dream a reality. Our partners at APH have more than a century of experience providing Braille textbooks to blind students across the country. HumanWare has decades of expertise developing innovative technology used by blind people around the world. And we in the National Federation of the Blind belong to the nation's oldest organization of blind people. Who better to help develop this game-changing technology for blind people than blind people themselves? A great deal of research and thought has gone into developing this dynamic new tactile device. Everyone involved in the project wants to make sure it will meet the needs of as many blind people, particularly blind students, as possible. The dynamic tactile device, DTD, will be able to show 10 lines of Braille at a time, and it will be 32 characters across. This decision was made in part because we want to make sure that it will easily fit on a student's desk. One of the things that most excites me about these developments is the fact that blind students once again will be able to use the butterfly method of reading, where the right hand finishes the line of Braille while the left hand drops down to begin reading the line below. For obvious reasons, this method hasn't been possible for readers using traditional one-line Braille displays. We know that reading with both hands using the butterfly method is the best way to build speed as a Braille reader. I look forward to seeing how fast some of our students will be able to read with so much Braille under their fingertips. In addition, equidistant pins mean that the dynamic tactile device will be able to show tactile graphics, not just Braille characters. This development will be truly revolutionary in terms of math, science, and other spatial content. The device will be able to show tactile graphics labeled in Braille. Furthermore, blind people will be able to interact with the graphics in ways we never really have been able to before. We will be able to zoom in and out on pictures to explore more detail or less as needed. We will also be able to view material that has been drawn or shown on another device. For example, we might be able to touch a diagram that has been drawn on an iPad using an Apple Pencil. This capability will absolutely change how we interact with tactile graphics and how we teach blind students to understand what has previously been seen as mostly a visual medium. Below the display on the dynamic tactile device is a Perkins-style keypad that allows the device to be used for writing as well as reading. The dynamic tactile device will also have an onboard ecosystem of Braille-centric applications optimized for viewing multiple lines of Braille at a time. Students will be able to work math problems on this device and still read the lines above and below where they are currently writing. Touch-sensitive cells will allow us to use our fingers to navigate to where we want to edit, rather than having to use cursor routing keys as we do when we use Braille displays that are currently on the market. We anticipate that this device will dramatically shorten the time it takes to get Braille textbooks into the hands of blind students. A student will be able to download their books from the cloud instead of waiting for boxes and boxes of Braille volumes to be shipped across the country. But the dynamic tactile device isn't just a powerful tool for blind students. Blind adults will be able to view sports schedules, maps, or knitting patterns. Undoubtedly, they will find uses for the device that we can't yet imagine. Picture a blind website developer using the dynamic tactile device to look at the web page they're designing, checking how it will be laid out without having to use a human reader. A blind architect could tactilely examine digital blueprints as they change in real time. A blind musician could view both hands of a piece of piano music or multiple parts of a finished score. The dynamic tactile device does not stand alone. In order to make a multi-line Braille display truly feasible and usable to its full potential, our partners have realized that we need to develop a new Braille file standard. The new standard must be optimized to show multiple lines of Braille on one device. We are currently working together to develop the EBRF, or Electronic Braille Ready File, standard. EBRF will make it possible for users to navigate through files as seamlessly as sighted people navigate through electronic files on their Kindle or iPad. One of our first goals is to get this device into the hands of every blind student in the United States K-12 system. Of course, such a powerful device won't be inexpensive, at least at the start. To make it available, we will need to work together to find funding. the American Printing House for the Blind receives an annual appropriation to provide educational books and other materials for students who are blind or have low vision. Increasing this funding will be the most efficient way to get this device into the hands of students quickly. The National Federation of the Blind supports increasing the appropriation for APH to fund distribution of this new Braille display. Our members excel in this kind of advocacy. We know our stories, and we are comfortable telling them. I have illustrated some of the ways having a device like this could have impacted my educational career. We need to share many more stories from our members across the country. We have our stories, our experiences, and most importantly, we have our passion to make things better for the next generation of blind students. By working together, we have the power to help our partners secure funding to get the dynamic tactile device into the hands of blind students across the United States and to make it available to blind adults as well. Our partners know what a huge impact this device will have on the blind community, and we all believe that this is the right group to make it happen. Bruce Miles, CEO of HumanWare, says, "At HumanWare, we are absolutely thrilled to be working on the DTD project alongside our partners at APH and the NFB. It will be nothing short of a revolution in electronic Braille that will clearly transform the Braille experience for everyone around the world. It aligns perfectly with our mission and is the type of challenge that is built into the DNA of our company." Craig Meador, M-E-A-D-O-R, president of APH, states, "There is no more important frontier for APH than this project, leveling the education and learning playing field, not just for students, but for adults as well, begins with equal access to Braille and tactile images. This really isn't about fancy tech. It's about achieving equality. And there is no other partner we need by our side in the journey to achieve equality than NFB." President Rick Obono put it eloquently, "Each of us has the power to shape the future of the DTD through our active involvement in promoting Braille literacy through the National Federation of the Blind. As we move toward beta testing this innovative device, we as blind people need to be the quality control. What does it do well? What does it do really badly? What does it not do that it should? How can it be leveraged to be more meaningful to us and our authentic experience as blind people? What can we learn from testing these new approaches? These questions and more we must explore through our active testing of this innovative device. More importantly, how are we as blind people going to utilize the power of this partnership to raise expectations and transform dreams into reality? The answer is together. Let's imagine what is possible and then make it happen together." From the ACB.org, SAG Awards with audio description. The 29th Annual Screen Actors Guild, SAG, Awards were streamed Sunday, February 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, with live audio description provided by Descriptive Video Works. There is a hot link to access the recording of the show with audio description. The SAG Awards is the only show that exclusively honors actors. With a voting body of more than 122,600 members, the SAG Awards have the largest and most diverse group of voters in the awards circuit. Over the years, the SAG Awards have become a fan favorite, known for its fast-paced nature, sincerity, and sense of community. Join SAG Live Sunday, February 26th, which is past, for a wonderful evening celebrating the best in acting achievement. From acureinsight.org, metastatic OM. Ocular melanoma, or OM metastasis, is something no one wants to hear. But yet, here we are. You may have just been given the news that your ocular melanoma has spread, or that your current treatment plan might not be working. A Cure in Sight is here to help you. We have a compassionate team of ocular melanoma patients to help you find your way. Maybe you would like a buddy who has gone through the same treatment, a support group, or just general information. You can find it here. If you are looking for someone to help you through your journey, please see our Resources tab for our buddy program, Cure Companions, Physician Finder, and Resources to Find Support Groups. Working with your physician, a medical oncologist who specializes in metastatic ocular melanoma, to find the right plan for you is essential. Your doctor can explain the options available to you. They can guide you on clinical trials that might be the right fit for you. You can also use our convenient clinical trial finders to research the latest trials. More importantly, there is every reason to have hope, as there are finally multiple cancer therapies now in active development and clinical trials for metastatic OM. Uveal melanoma metastasis typically spreads to the liver first, but there have been patients who have had initial metastasis in other organs. Lung, bone, skin, soft tissue, and lymph nodes are also areas that can be affected. As you discuss treatment plans with your physician, you should be aware that there's only one specifically approved treatment by the FDA for metastatic OM. Your physician will advise you based on your specific tumor characteristics and molecular genetics results, if available, of the treatments and investigational therapies in clinical trials best suited for you, as listed below. When you are discussing treatment plans, always check ahead to make sure that the treatment plan you're considering will not disqualify you from a clinical trial you may choose to consider in the future. Having a next step treatment plan is a good way to be ready if your current treatment's not working. Your physician can help you develop a treatment plan with extra steps and possible clinical trials that are right for you. The following are some treatments that may be suggested by your medical oncologist. Liver-directed therapies. Embolization, isolation of the liver, to locally administer chemotherapy, radiation, or immunotherapy. Regional isolation perfusion, HIA, hepatic intra-arterial chemotherapy has not produced significant improvement in efficacy. Other liver isolation therapies have subsequently been developed and tested as shown below. IHP, isolated hepatic infusion. The liver is completely isolated from the systemic blood circulation, allowing a high concentration of chemotherapy, typically melphalan, M-E-L-P-H-A-L-A-N, to be perfused through the liver. IHP can only be done once. The PHP, percutaneous hepatic perfusion, is a double balloon catheter inserted into the inferior vena cava to isolate the blood supply to the liver, and then the liver's blood is filtered outside of the body. May be better tolerated than IHP, but efficacy results are lacking. IHP and PHP are less invasive and may be performed multiple times. Hepatic chemoemulsion. Drug eluting beads, gelatin sponge, polyvinyl sponge, resorbable microspheres, and polyvinyl alcohol particles introduced into the liver. Chemoembolization has been well tolerated. Hepatic immunoembolization. Immunologic stimulant is delivered into the hepatic artery, followed by an embolizing agent. Hepatic radioembolization or hepatic transarterial radioembolization, T-A-R-E, or selective internal radiation therapy, S-I-R-T. Glass or resin yttrium-90 beads are introduced into the hepatic artery. That substance is called Y-T-T-R-I-U-M, yttrium. Tumor resection, removal from the liver or lungs, may be appropriate in some circumstances. This is usually done when there are just a few tumors which are easily accessible. Not all tumors can be resected. Embolization might be done as well. Immunotherapy is an option, and your physician might recommend one of these investigational therapies. Anti-PD-1, PD-L1 monotherapy. Pembrolizumab or nivolumab. That's P-E-M-B-R-O-L-I-Z-U-M-A-B and N-I-V-O-L-U-M-A-B. CTLA-4 antibody, ipilimumab, I-P-I-L-I-M-U-M-A-B. Checkpoint inhibitor combination, nivolumab plus ipilimumab, N-I-V-O-L-U-M-A-B plus I-P-I-L-I-M-U-M-A-B. Tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, synthetic melanoma peptide vaccination, dendritic cell vaccination, KIMMTRAK, K-I-M-M-T-R-A-K, formerly known as T-Benta-FUSP, or IMC-GP-100, is FDA approved in the United States. Contact your physician if you would like more information and to see if KIMMTRAK is right for you. Or visit kimmtrak.com. Targeted therapies, IDE-196 and in combination with binimetinib, B-I-N-I-M-E-T-I-N-I-B. trametinib, selumetinib, defactinib plus VS-6766. Cytotoxic chemotherapy drug regimens, temozolomide, decarbazine, paclitaxel, albumin-bound paclitaxel. I don't know why I can't pronounce that. P-A-C-L-I-T-A-X-E-L. Carboplatin plus paclitaxel. Ongoing clinical trials can be easily searched using ocular melanoma or uveal melanoma. https://clinicaltrials.gov/. Clinical trial results are published online from the leading medical oncology scientific groups. Search recent annual meeting abstracts and presentations in ocular melanoma or uveal melanoma. ASCO, ASCO, https://conferences.asco.org/am/attend. ESMO, ESMO, https://www.esmo.org/meetings/esmo-congress-2021. Glossary in terms courtesy of Ian Galloway. Please note that Acure Insight does not offer treatment recommendations and that the following listings are from publicly available website searches. Some of these investigational therapies may already be approved for other cancers. However, there are currently no FDA-approved therapies specifically for metastatic ocular melanoma. From FastCompany.com, these fashion designers are putting Braille right on their clothing. The fashion industry has long ignored the disability community, but brands like AILLE and Balini, B-A-L-I-N-I, are putting Braille front and center. When Alexa Jovanovich was in her last year in the fashion communications program at Toronto Metropolitan University, she knew she wanted her final project to look at disability inclusion, but she wasn't quite sure what to focus on. The answer came while she was shopping. She pulled a beaded jacket from a rack and was struck by how an article of clothing could be both beautiful and utilitarian. It made her think of Braille, which she was also studying in school, and a business idea was born. In early 2020, Jovanovich launched AILLE Design with her husband, Jake Walsh. The line features a range of shirts, dresses, sweaters, and masks, embroidered with Braille messages using crystal pearls. They spell out inspirational phrases like, "Fashion is for everyone," and "Disabilities do not define us, we define ourselves." While Jovanovich is not visually impaired herself, her designs are already being embraced by the community. The American Foundation for the Blind placed a 1,000-piece custom order for its 100-year anniversary, and the nonprofit Visually Impaired Advancement placed a sizable order as well for its Dining in the Dark fundraiser. It's an important step for accessible fashion, and yet the fact remains that even while some of these lines are starting to see success, it's still rare to see a visually impaired designer in the mix. It's perhaps not surprising, as the broader fashion industry has long ignored the disability community. "We literally have more clothes in stores for pets than we have for people with disabilities," designer Stephanie Thomas said in a 2016 TEDx talk. Still, the independent designers like Jovanovich are trying to fill the gap. For Jovanovich, business has been brisk. She says AL's revenue grew by 327% between 2020 and 2021, and more than doubled its customer base in that same period. In 2022, it saw a boost when her designs were worn by Raoul Midon, M-I-D-O-N, one of the most well-known visually impaired musicians, as he toured the U.S., Jovanovich added that Katy Perry took a picture with him, pointing to the Braille on his shirt, increasing recognition and boosting their social followings. But for Balini Naidoo, N-A-I-D-O-O, who launched a Braille-focused line in 2019, things have been a bit more challenging. Balini, her brand based in Saldanha Bay, South Africa, includes Braille phrases identifying the color, size, and washing instructions on the front of the shirt. Naidoo was inspired to launch Balini after watching her visually impaired uncle struggle to identify which shirt was which in his closet. "That's when I realized Braille can be helpful to this community when applied to the clothing itself," she says. But despite receiving press coverage and several awards during the pandemic, business slumped, and she closed her online store. Now she sells special release items through Instagram and fills orders on demand. She believes the stigma around visually impaired people has made it hard to grow her line, especially given where she's located. In South Africa, the visually impaired people are treated poorly, and only a certain class of families can teach their blind children how to read Braille, she says. Other brands are working not just to make clothing more accessible to the visually impaired community, but to raise awareness more broadly. Kenya's Hisi Studio, H-I-S-I, features fashion-forward pants, skirts, and tops with Braille phrases on the sides. Meanwhile, two blind brothers in New York City makes extra soft shirts that include color and size information in Braille on the tag. It gives 100% of the profits to the foundation fighting blindness. For Jovanovic, it's been important to involve members of the visually impaired community in the design process, including a diverse group of disabled and non-disabled participants in the initial design phase is crucial. You will quickly learn what does and does not work while preventing accessibility from becoming an afterthought, she says. These roles aren't paid, but she hopes to expand the number of paid opportunities for people who are visually impaired. She says AL also includes blind and visually impaired models for some of their photo shoots and had a visually impaired intern last summer, both of which are paid opportunities. AL Design also offers people the option to customize their own products with a phrase of their choice in Braille embroidered on the piece. More than once, we've even added wedding vows in Braille to a wedding dress and a blazer's lapel, Jovanovic remembers. Off-the-rack items range from $59 for T-shirts to $499 for the blue dress. Individual custom work generally costs a $30 base fee with an additional 50 cents per character. Jovanovic has also set up AL to offer a variety of services depending on what people need. There's a rental option for the Braille clothing, including a new sleek blue dress with over 2,600 beads that was made in collaboration with 10 visually impaired women. This dress became the statement piece of what beadwork Braille could be, Jovanovic says. When she asked the female collaborators what blue meant to them, she included some of their poetic phrases in the Braille design, such as, "Blue is the feeling of freedom when you dip your toes in velvety cold water, and there is a purposeful electricity to blue, a unique excitement and invitation to be all of who you are." For some insiders in inclusive and adaptive design, these independent brands can jumpstart a wider movement in fashion. Designers and retailers can become more inclusive in how they manufacture and promote their fashion lines by hiring people with disabilities from boardrooms to entry level and throughout, says Stephanie McCoy, founder of Bold Blind Beauty, an advocacy platform for the visually impaired community. Incorporating Braille into fashion is a brilliant way to create social impact and conversations about access, inclusion, and representation. Jovanovic believes the time is ripe for a new approach to inclusive and adaptive fashion, and for designers to make fashion more accessible for everyone. Fashion isn't about sight, Jovanovic says. Fashion is about feeling, from the touch of a soft fabric to the rush of emotions and empowerment you experience when you put your favorite outfit on or read Braille on clothing. I'm just about out of time, so I will have to read the Forbes article about Kai Owens next week. We've run out of time for this week's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.